This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer. And U.S. Soccer and the Shebelees Cup in Atlanta on April 6th. And Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show. We talk soccer in Atlanta. We talk soccer all over the state of Georgia. We talk soccer all over the Southeast. We talk a lot of MLS. We talk other leagues as well. We talk local colleges. We talk nationally. We talk internationally. It's what we do on AST. It's been a very busy day for Atlanta United and in the Five Stripes universe after their season ended Sunday in Orlando. Roster announcements, the usual kind of end of season, options being picked up, not being picked up. We'll talk about that. Came out today as well that Rob Valentino would not continue with the club. All of this has been the talk of the town all day long. I caught up earlier today with my Atlanta United radio partner, Mike Conti, and we talked about all of it. And I want to play the conversation for you to start the show tonight. Where we started was Brad Kazan's option being picked up and his play during the postseason, making that return to Atlanta United for another season being a no-brainer. Here's Mike's thoughts on that and more, our conversation from earlier today.
I agree, and I think Brad was pretty transparent even within the last week. He had gotten the question directly several times, and I was really more surprised at the surprise after the Orlando game when he said that he wanted to play another year. If you listen to 92.9 The Game, you would have known that before the Orlando game. Look, Brad played probably at the highest level he has played at in 5 or 6 years this year, at least, maybe even at a higher level than that. And I'm not surprised that he wanted to give it one more go. Goalkeepers are kind of the ageless anomalies in soccer, right? Like, yeah, I think Tim Howard played until he was 40 or 41 years old, and he played at a very high level until his retirement. So I'm glad for Brad. It's amazing. If you would have told me this time last year that Brad would announce that he's coming back for 2025 and fans would be celebrating that, I think I would have been a little bit surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh Cohen back at goalkeeper as well. Jaden Hibbert joins the first team roster. We've talked about Hibbert. I think he might be the guy for the future, but he needs more time. So you were going to need, at a minimum, somebody like Brad to fill that role for 2025. And it just makes sense to make that be Brad, especially after the performance he had. The rest of the roster decisions, again, no major surprises. Efrain Morales back, Jay Fortune back, Santiago Sosa. I think just to be clear, you know, there is talk about Racing Club in Argentina picking up the option, the transfer option after his loan. So to make that happen, you got to extend his contract. That's kind of a no-brainer. I don't know if he'll be back with Atlanta United. Ronald Hernandez, option not picked up. We know what that salary number is. It's pretty high, but you would have to think after what we saw from him that he would be another candidate to be brought back, maybe on a reduced salary.
Yeah, without question. And they've indicated that they've made him, or at least that they're negotiating. I don't know if that's the same as bona fide offer and all the mechanics that come into it, but they say that they are negotiating with him. You know, the thing about Hernandez is, and this is where it gets interesting with the coaching news that we learned today, I think Rob really rated Ronald Hernandez. I don't know how the next coach and GM will rate Ronald Hernandez and if they'll rate him at the same level, but Hernandez is, he's always kind of been like a little bit of a polarizing figure among the fan base. I really appreciate Ronald Hernandez, and there were times this year where I felt like he was one of the few guys out there who was really bleeding for the club. And he played at a very high level before he got hurt this summer. And then when he came back, he played at a high level again in the playoffs. I mean, think about, you know, Brooks Lennon suffers a serious injury in game one against Miami, and Atlanta United does not experience really a profound drop-off at all at fullback. So I hope Ronald comes back. I'm excited for the possibility of him coming back, but I will be curious to see how he's rated by the new coach and GM.
Yeah, I think with Brooks Lennon being out for months into 2025, that makes it a little more of a priority to get Ronald Hernandez back on this roster, and hopefully they can find a number that makes sense for him. The other thing from Garth Augerway's media availability that jumped out to me, alarm bells went off when I heard it, was about the designated players. And it might have just been the way that the sentence came out. I don't know if it's necessarily saying that, of course, an attacker is going to be one of the designated player signings. But Garth also mentioned defender. And we've talked to him throughout the season. And winger has come up as well. That wasn't mentioned here. That then kind of carried into a conversation about some of the coaching and GM finalists and what that could look like. So lots of things you can kind of read between tea leaves here, but did that surprise you that potentially you could look at an investment on the back line, a significant one for 25?
Yes, hugely surprised me, because most MLS teams just don't do that unless it's for a procedural reason. Like Atlanta United had Alan Franco as a DP, but that was procedural. Stian Gregerson is a DP, really more procedural. The way that I interpreted what he said, Jason, is probably aligned with you, that this wouldn't be procedural. This would be going out and trying to find, you know, a DP-level defender that you know, would not be just for salary mechanics and accounting. I think Garth has made his general plan pretty clear over the last couple of years to you and I and interviews that he's done. He wants to have three designated players, not all the same age, but three designated players who are going to be the lockdown members of this club that you will build around for a long segment of time, in the same way that they had in Seattle with Lodero Morris and Rui Diaz. So again, using that as kind of the concept, I don't think Garth throws that around lightly when he says DP defender. Now, he also did say later in the press conference, I think he all but confirmed that one of the designated players will be a center forward, and that obviously makes a ton of sense. But he did say it could be both a center forward and a left winger. Now, that was in response to a direct question about left wing.
He also mentioned central attacking midfield as well, and Maranchu moving out wide. So,
True.
Which he kind of went in from that. He went into the best available player kind of idea. That's going to be – that part doesn't shock me too much just because, you want somebody who can probably play a couple different spots outside of the striker. You want a striker, no question. But do you get a 10 who can play wide when you have Maranchuk who can do that? You can figure out which one is the better one in that option. You can move the pieces around as game to game comes from. You give that head coach the opportunity to have those conversations. The possibility of it being a defender was fascinating to me. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see as all of this goes. And there's going to be a lot of movement, I think, between now and the start of training camp, and probably a lot of movement between now and opening day in 25. There are guys on this roster right now that I don't think will be there by the time you get to opening day, whether that's a transfer, whether that's a potential trade. There's an expansion draft as well. Lots of different things can happen. So, you know, I we'll just have to wait and see on the roster. It sounds like they are pretty far down the road on a head coach, on a general manager / technical director. Rob Valentino posted on his X account this afternoon that he is leaving Atlanta. Can't say we're surprised, but I feel like I can say that we're both saddened by that.
Yeah. I'll take it a step further and say disappointed, at least for me. I don't want to speak for you. I'm disappointed. I said on the broadcast Sunday, I don't have a vote. If I had a vote, he would have gotten it. Now, all that being said, I reserve the right to revise that once we find out who they end up hiring. So I'm going to put that little caveat there. I thought Rob did a tremendous job with two hands tied behind his back, quite frankly. And I say hands tied behind his back because in both instances in which he has led this team, he did not have a full complement of a roster, whether it be due to injury or vacant designated player spots. He took a team that was completely beaten down by Hanze mentally and physically in 2021 and pulled a magic trick with them and got them 4-2-2. And really, that was the springboard that Pineda used to get them into the playoffs as a 5 seed, by the way. I mean, 2021, I still don't understand why that season is looked upon so negatively historically by Atlanta United fans. That team was as hot as anyone in the league the second half of the year. Then Rob turns around this year again with a roster that and Garth confuses me a little bit because he seemed to indicate today that he felt this roster was capable of winning an MLS Cup, but I feel like he's also said that he felt this roster was not capable, so I'm a little bit confused there. But regardless, this was a team that certainly would have been an extreme underdog to win the MLS Cup. And Rob got him 3 wins away. And, you know, one bad bounce in Orlando, we might still be taking penalties right now. And then you're going up to Red Bulls, perhaps. So I thought Rob did a terrific job. I'm disappointed he will not be back. Incredibly respected. I cannot stress this enough. Jason, you and I have been covering sports a long time. I cannot think of too many coaches that I have known that have been as universally respected by players and peers than Rob Valentino. He will get a chance to be a head coach somewhere else. I don't know if it'll be an MLS or USL Championship or somewhere, maybe even not in this country, but I think he will crush it wherever he ends up. So I'm disappointed. I'll be very honest about that. I'm disappointed, but let's see what they do. I get the sense, based on remarks that Garth has made to you and I in our pregame interview several times, even though he kind of walked it back a little bit today, I do feel like the coach and general manager will have had to have some kind of prior relationship, only because Garth has said repeatedly when we've asked, you know, where's Rob in all of this, Garth has had really two kind of consistent responses to that question. One, kind of questioning Rob's level of experience, and two, he has said repeatedly that he feels like it's important that the coach and the general manager have a strong relationship. So that, to me, is a hint that they're probably going to go in a direction where there is at least some kind of knowledge or relationship of each other between coach and general manager.
Yeah, that's interesting. We haven't really heard anything about candidates on the general manager side. We know what's out there on the coaching side, at least what's been reported. And Patrick Vieira was part of that conversation, and he no longer is. He's taken another job instead. So how things have changed with guys who are now out of jobs. Jim Curtin's one of those. Nick Cushing was let go today. Vandy Sartini in Vancouver was let go recently. There's been a lot of movement around the league. For one, I think maybe that makes the Atlanta job a little more interesting with some other names that have been added to this since the October window when Garth told us and told our audience that, you know, interviews were done. It also creates opportunities for Rob. And I want to follow up on what you had to say about Rob. I think thinking back to how Atlanta United seasons have ended outside of 2018, obviously, which is a different conversation. I don't remember ever feeling the emotions that I did at the final whistle and in the final moments of that game. And as we were talking about it afterwards, any other time. And the reason why is because of Rob and the coaching staff and because of what they did to make people feel about this team. You know, we've talked about style of play. We've talked about game models and things like that. And those things do make people have emotions about the game. But I think what Rob tapped into was just pure human emotion. He made this team likable. He made these guys fight for one another. He made them believe, as many of them have said, even when somebody like Dax McCarty, who's been there and done that, is like, I don't know if this group will come together. They did. And it's down to Rob, and it's down to Matt Lowry, and it's down to Carl Robinson, and it's down to Liam Curran and everybody else that's been in that locker room. And we don't know what happens with anybody else at this stage. And that's going to be another part of this conversation. But, you know, Rob did an amazing job, I think, with what he had to work with. He was pragmatic in all of the right ways that word can be used. He got the most out of what he had to work with. I don't think he left anything on the table that he could have done differently, that he could have gotten something else. I think he did everything that he could do to get what he could out of the group of players that he inherited. And that's a sign of a good coach. I think he will be an excellent coach. I think Vancouver, especially as a team that just opened up their head coaching job, could do far, far worse than hiring Rob Valentino. New York City as well. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens for Rob. And, you know, I think I can speak for both of us and say that we hope for nothing for the best for him and for his family and whatever that next stop is going to be. And I don't think he's going to be on the sidelines for very long waiting for that next stop.
Nope. And I'd say the same for Gonzalo Pineda, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Gonzalo and what he wants to do next. You know, two good people that I think unfortunately didn't get the results or didn't get the consideration. And I think both are different situations in terms of continuing on with this group. Luck plays a role in it too, you know, for both of them. And I think both are going to be successful wherever they end up. What I do know is that we're going to have a lot of different things to talk about over the next few weeks on AST. When it comes to roster, when it comes to head coach, when it comes to general manager, the table has just maybe merely been set ahead of Thanksgiving. I just want to say to you, thank you for everything this season. It's been a blast. It's been one of those seasons that I honestly think we'll remember more so than many others in Atlanta United history.
Yeah, unquestionably. And thank you, too, for just being you and everything you have done for the soccer community in Atlanta and for us at 92.9 The Game. And thank you for continuing to be a great friend, and I can't wait to do this again with you next year. But I think we're going to – people will hear from us between now and February 1st because I think we're going to have numerous opportunities to make comment on a lot of very, very big decisions coming up.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of Atlanta Soccer tonight, whether they are live or whether they are special editions, because I think the kind of moves we're talking about are going to require a lot of conversation. So, Mike, thank you. Have a great holiday, and we'll be catching up soon.
You too.
All right, let's go deeper into today's news on Atlanta United's roster and leadership positions changes. We're going to get into all that after the break. More Atlanta soccer tonight to come on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta soccer tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta soccer tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Big thank you to Mike Conti for joining me in the first segment to talk about today's news. Roster decisions, some people staying, some not staying, coaching updates. Rob Valentino is on that list of people not staying. He has left the club after being informed that he will not be the next head coach. Garth Lagerwey spoke to the media this afternoon after the announcements started to roll out. Rob posted his goodbye on the X app a little bit before the announcement went out about the roster decisions. And then that was about 45 minutes or so before Garth Lagerwey spoke. I could honestly talk the rest of the show about Rob and what he meant to this group this year and the quality of the job that he did, in my opinion. One, we do have other things we have to get to. And two, I know he would hate that. Because every time that we would talk and get into different things, whether we're talking about tactics, whether we're talking about how things have come together, he would always downplay his role in making that happen. And I told him last week when we sat down to talk ahead of the Eastern Conference semifinal against Orlando, which you guys know how that went by now, he would always downplay what he did with the group tactically. And I was always so impressed with how he solved the problems that this roster had. He was missing pieces. And I think it showed on Sunday in Orlando. You know, you can never really count on having two forwards get injured and losing them in the same match. But that's why you generally have more depth in that position as well. And Atlanta United didn't have that right now. He didn't have a natural forward he could turn to at that point. And I thought what he did to try to solve it with Sabo Lobjanidze going there and later with Alexei Maranchuk going there on the fly with limited substitution windows left and limited substitutions and no real obvious options, I was really impressed with how he solved that, just like many other things that he did from a purely tactical standpoint that didn't get talked about enough. I know he brought it up many times. I did as well. The game in Salt Lake, where it's a 5-2 loss, what he did with that group tactically to make RSL really have to work for it. And eventually they didn't solve it. They got their breakthrough on set pieces, which is an entirely different animal. I think what he did throughout the team, throughout the season, throughout his time with it, evolving and figuring it out as the problems presented themselves in real time, I was so impressed. And that's not even getting into the parts that have been talked about a lot, making this team believe, making this locker room believe, and bringing a group together in a way that I don't know if I've ever been around it that way, honestly. I've been around a lot of teams. I've been around a lot of situations. I've been around teams that have been very successful, been around teams that have not. I've never seen a group buy in at the stage that they did, when they did, and in the deep, deep manner that they did with this team in this playoff run. And it's so impressive what he did and what his coaching staff did. And you know, Rob would probably yell at me if I'm not giving credit to the rest of the group as well. And they were instrumental. That balance of individuals with Liam Curran and Matt Lowry and Carl Robinson and so many others supporting that. So essential to getting this team where they did and taking us on a ride that I honestly hope no one forgets it. I really hope that that doesn't happen. And it's why I stress all the time to you guys out there listening, you can never just judge a team purely on results, because things can be going well and the results aren't there. And we've seen that many times. Things can be not going all that well and the results are there, and it covers over it. You know when it's special because you feel it. And as I said with Mike in the first segment, I've never been as emotional at the end of a season as I've been in this one. And it's because Rob and this team made you feel something. And it was guttural, it was deep, and it was real. And that's why I think he made this fan base fall in love with this club and this team again. And I hope that's never forgotten. It unfortunately wasn't enough to get him the full-time head coaching job. Garth Lagerwey spoke to the media today, and this is what he had to say early on in the conversation about that decision.
We met this morning. You know, I informed him he wasn't going to be our next head coach. And I think one of the things that we look for in a head coach at Atlanta United is potentially someone with experience. Someone who has a proven track record of winning. And it was really important to us that we give Rob a chance to prove that, and to prove that he could go deep in the playoffs and he could compete for titles. And unfortunately, we came up just short of that, which doesn't diminish the run that we went on. And we had a lot of fun, and it was certainly spectacular to have 70,000 people in the building for game two. I think that was a special moment, special event. It's, you know, in a lot of ways redeemed the season, salvaged the season, what had otherwise been a pretty bumpy experience.
Yep, it was a bumpy experience. I think when you hear that from Garth Lagerwey, I think it tells you that Rob had to win MLS Cup to get the job. And look, I hope that this decision works out in the long run. I think that is a very high bar and maybe an unrealistic bar for what the team was at that stage, especially when you look at that Eastern Conference semifinal and you're going with a gut reaction either way. I don't know if it was possible to do more with this team than what this coaching staff did. And that's got to be part of the conversation as well. So, you know, look, this is a tough decision, and this is the kind of decision that big clubs have to make. And hopefully it is the correct one. We'll only find out in time. One of the reasons why this decision was made is because of the quality of candidates that are available to a club like Atlanta United. Here's Garth Lagerwey speaking about that coaching search and the quality of that search.
I think, you know, what is maybe not clear at the moment is just how desirable it is to work for Atlanta United, and the type of candidates that we're able to attract to this franchise is really, it's really, really impressive. And I think we're going to wind up with somebody good as the next head coach. And Rob would also have been good, but he'd be a little bit less experienced maybe than some of the other candidates that we've spoken with.
So I think what you take away from that is, one, experience is a massive part of this conversation. And that was something that Rob was not going to be able to overcome in this interim stint. Two, the bar's been set very high on who is hired, because talking about the quality of the candidates and the quality of people that are interested in this job, it sets a big expectation. So we will see who that will be. One more clip from Garth before we go to break, and we've got plenty more to talk about in the last segment of the show. No 3-4-3. We've just got too much this time around on AST. Plenty more to talk about, especially on the roster side. But the general manager spot is also open for Atlanta United. Here is Garth speaking about the timeline in terms of coach and general manager.
I think the coach will finalize probably next week, would be my guess. I think on the sporting director, I think it's a little harder to say. As you say, we had some candidates, some potential candidates with whom we could speak for the first time now that some teams have been knocked out. But we are, what I would say, Felipe, is we're pretty far along in both processes. We're down to a limited group of finalists, and we'll be able to make the decisions pretty quick now.
That was in response to a question from Felipe Cardenas of The Athletic. Garth Lagerwey, one more clip from him, and we'll talk about that coach and general manager compatibility a little bit in the next segment. We'll talk about this roster as well, where it currently stands, what's missing, and what might we see in 2025 from Atlanta United. Stay with us. More Atlanta Soccer Tonight to come just around the break on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Final segment, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, a very busy edition of AST. Thank you for listening. No 343 tonight. Too busy, too much news, too many different specific topics to get into. It's kind of one of those nights that we need a bonus hour somewhere, whether it is on YouTube, whether it is a podcast edition. If you guys would be interested in that sort of thing, please let me know on your social media platforms. You can find me at Longshoe, wherever you may be, because we're thinking ahead to 2025. We're preparing for 2025 here at 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app, the Atlanta United broadcast universe. We're trying to figure all this out. So if you want more of this, please let me know and we'll try to figure out how we can make that happen. We try to accommodate everyone here at AST. This has been a very, I don't know, these past couple of days, since Sunday, it has been a very weird feeling because I can't say I didn't expect to get the news that came out today about Rob Valentino leaving the club. Doesn't mean it didn't hurt. I'm kind of glad that it's over with now. And listen, you don't have to worry about Rob and him landing somewhere. Because I think what he did in this playoff run is he raised the stock of Rob Valentino as a head coach dramatically. And there's a lot of openings right now. I can't wait to see what happens for him. And wherever Rob ends up, he's got that team's got a new fan in me, because I will always be pulling for Rob and whatever staff he puts together in that next stop. So I was almost dreading this coming out. And I also wanted to get it over with as fast as possible. So it's been, I don't know, like a 48-hour dread since the end of that game. And arriving back home almost 48 hours ago, Sunday night after 3:30 kickoffs are kind of nice for that. You get home a little bit earlier. But yeah, so it's been weird. The other thing that came today that we have to keep in mind with is when Garth Lagerwey spoke to the media this afternoon, the general manager portion of it, and Chris Henderson's name has come up obviously quite a bit. I haven't really heard any other names in that potential search, so we'll just have to wait and see if there is anyone else and who that could be and what that looks like. But today, Garth was asked about how you get the pieces to fit together, because Garth Lagerwey's talked about wanting the coach and the general manager, sporting director, to be on the same page. Tyler Pilgrim of Scarves and Spikes asked how you do that. Here is what Garth had to say.
Look, we're going to have them talk to each other. You know, so this is funny, man. You get these hypothetical questions like, how are you going to do it? What's the science behind this? And you know what? That's a lot of times is, can you get human beings that want to work together? And the good news is I've been doing this for a while. So we got a pretty wide network of folks that we've talked to. Certainly not just me, but you know, the entirety of the staff and who we've reached out to. And look, it's been a months-long process on both fronts. And look, we wanted to be respectful of our staff and let the season play out. Give Rob every chance. But you know, now that's over, and now we're ready to move forward with kind of this next phase. And you know, we'll get it buttoned up here, we think, in the next couple of weeks, and we'll get two people that are really good, and we're going to get people that are really good together. And some of that's just, you know, sitting around, to be fair, probably more Zoom calls than coffee tables right now, but you know, we'll get them on the same line together and talk philosophy and make sure we're aligned in terms of the big picture stuff. And then we'll get going.
So I'm really intrigued at how that process will go. It's a small world in terms of coaches and potential sporting directors and general managers, but there's lots of people who don't really know one another. They might know of one another. They might have an idea. Okay, I know this person and they were at this club and they probably believe this. You might be wrong. You might be right. I'm curious how much of a factor that will play in this situation. And is it truly getting a duo together that you feel most comfortable about? Does one of the roles have more sway than the other one in terms of that duo? For example, if you really like one specific head coach, but the general manager, the sporting director that you like the most, those two don't really mix that well. Do you still go with that, or do you go with one or the other and find someone that matches with them? I don't know. And it's down, according to Garth, it's down to the final individuals in each group. And I think he was reluctant to put a number on it. He said a couple at one point in it, but then he said not to in terms of the coaching side. So is that going to be a series of conversations of talking soccer with two different people and seeing kind of how they react to one another? It'll be fascinating. It's one where I'd love to be a fly on the wall just to listen to how that goes. But I will not be. So I will be very curious to see what comes out of this. But the expectation is that both roles will be hired before Christmas. So you're about a month away. The coaching one seems to be closer than the general manager one. But if they're going to be a duo, is there a separation between the two, or do they both get announced at the same time? I don't know what this looks like. So all I can say is stay tuned and we will keep you updated as best we can. And like I said before, if that means special editions of AST, if that means special shows, if that means podcasts, that means YouTube broadcasts, what have you, if we got to break into the studios in Colony Square 92.9 and take over for some soccer pirate radio, we'll do what we have to do to discuss what is next for Atlanta United. We do know on the roster at least what is next as of November 26th. So today, with players, with seasons being done and contracts being up and options that have to be decided upon Four options were exercised today. Jay Fortune, Brad Kazan, Efrain Morales, and Santiago Sosa. We'll talk a little bit more about Sosa just to clarify some things in just a bit. Options that were declined today. Eric Centeno, who had been on loan to Atlanta United, to Nick Firmino, Ronald Hernandez, Franco Ibarra, who had been on loan to Rosario Central, Jamal Tiare, and Tyler Wolf. The club is negotiating, according to today's release, with Wolf, Tiare, and Hernandez. I know Tiare posted on X yesterday his goodbye to Atlanta, so I don't know where that negotiation stands at this point. One player, Daniel Rios, was on loan from Chivas de Guadalajara. His loan ends on December 31st. Sounds like there will not be an option to retain him after that. And Dax McCarty, along with Quentin Westberg, are retiring. Quentin Westberg announced his retirement earlier today. So players under contract before all of that, let's get into it. So let's go through the position groups quickly as we wrap up this edition of AST and just talk about what is currently there, and then we'll kind of set the scene on the calendar for what's to come. You've got three goalkeepers under contract for 2025. Brad Kazan, Josh Cohen, Jaden Hibbert moves up from Atlanta United too. If you have not seen Jaden Hibbert, I think he is absolutely one to watch for the future. His first year of professional soccer, I thought he really progressed nicely. He still has work to do. He still has room to grow. This was his first year playing regularly ever at this kind of a level. He had a sophomore year in college where he played a good bit, didn't play a whole lot as a freshman. Youth career is different. This was a big deal for him. I thought he turned the corner in midseason with a loan to Birmingham Legion, came back, was a different player. I think he's got a lot to give to this team. It might not be in 2025. He might still play a lot with Atlanta United too in 2025. Do you need to do anything at the goalkeeper position? Typically, we've seen this team have three goalkeepers who have stayed with the first team predominantly all season. With Hibbert needing games, you're in a little bit different situation with this. I don't know if you need to go sign a veteran to be the third player. You could. A lot of teams do. Hibbert could be the third, even though he spends a lot of time on loan with Atlanta United too. If you go that route, you probably need a veteran with Atlanta United too who can be an emergency call-up if you have to go down that road if there's an injury to Kazan or Cohen. Fullback position, Pedro Amador under contract along with Brooks Lennon. Matthew Edwards, who is looked at primarily as a right back, can play on the left side. He can play center back as well. A couple of things that came out that have come out maybe since midseason this year. Aiden Torres, who is under contract on the first team, spent the year on loan with the second team. Predominantly a central midfielder, and that's where he's played for the U18s as of late for Atlanta United. With Atlanta United too, he played a good bit of right back. He has potential there, so keep that in mind. It was also mentioned by Garth Augerway that they want to explore Noah Cobb as a right back going into 2025. He definitely has the pace for it. No question about that. I think he's got the engine to get up and down the wing. Can he contribute in the attacking third with the ball at his feet enough as a right back? That's the question. Never seen him play there, so don't really have any kind of a baseline. It'll get him on the field more. And as we've seen with Ronald Hernandez, who, again, they are negotiating with, and I would love to see come back because of his versatility. That versatility can keep you on a professional roster. Noah Kopp could use that versatility. I think he has the potential to be a starter at center back in this league, but if he can play some right back too, that's a bonus. I thought he was very good when called upon this year. Your center back group, including Noah Kopp, including Matthew Edwards, it's Luis Abram, it's Steon Gregerson, it's Efrain Morales, and it is Derek Williams. With the talk potentially about adding a defender in terms of a designated player, and I do wonder if that was exactly what was being talked about in that situation. I don't know if you'd bring everybody back if you go down that road, unless you're looking at Cobb purely as a right back, which I think would be a little bit of a surprise. Does Luis Abram come back? I would assume that Gregerson does. I would assume that Williams does as well. Williams played very, very well and was very durable this year. Can he do that again for you? We'll be very interested to see the center back room. Let's move into the midfield. Dax McCarty retiring. The other three central midfielders, deeper lying, Jay Fortune, Tristan Muyamba, Bartosz Szlich, all back. Alexi Maranchuk can play as a 10. Aiden Torres, we talked about. He's young. He needs more time with Atlanta United too. One for the future. Yes, Santiago Sosa is under contract for now. With the reports out of Argentina that his purchase option will be picked up. He just won the Copa Sudamericana with Racing and played very, very well in the final as a center back, by the way, in a three. Sosa, to make that deal happen, to trigger the purchase option and bring money into the club, you have to pick up his option on his contract as it currently stands. I think it is procedural to get the transfer fee and make that move happen. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's wait and see how that plays out. Winger options, Saba Lobjanidze, Edwin Mosquera, Sean De Silva, Luke Brennan, Ashton Gordon, who joins the first team roster. Alexi Maranchuk can also move out wide if needed. Left side's got to be better than it was this year. Of course, you can look at different things in wingers if you hire a different kind of manager who does different things. For example, if you are looking at someone who played a lot of a 4-4-2 diamond in Philadelphia by the name of Jim Curtin, then you're not really looking at wingers. So then things are very different. That would be very interesting to see where some of the other faces on this roster would fit if that was the case. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to look at a left wing designated player or not. I'll be very curious to see where that goes. I do want to say that Ashton Gordon, since moving back to the wing, has been very, very impressive. He had a really good conclusion with Atlanta United too, and he's been very good with the Atlanta United U18s. Up top, nothing. Jamal Thiaré, they're negotiating with, it sounds like, although he posted his goodbyes. You don't have a forward right now under the roster. Gordon played some nine, but you don't have a forward. So you would expect at least a designated player signing and then at least one more and probably two more to fill those spots. So lots to talk about when it comes to Atlanta United and where things go from here. We didn't even get to any other news on this show because it's been that busy. You've got an expansion draft on December 11th. San Diego could take an Atlanta United player. Free agency, end of the year waivers, that opens December 12th. Reentry process, that's on December 13th. You got a half-day trade window the Monday after MLS Cup. All kinds of things. We will be covering every single bit of it here on AST. Thank you for spending some time with me. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Hope you have a great rest of the week. And we'll be back next Tuesday to talk about the latest developments in the Atlanta United universe. Have a good rest of the evening. Adios, everybody.